Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller, and with me is Ron Kangas. Ron, I'm really glad you're here for this particular program today.
I share that feeling, Matt. Good to be here.
Hope we can have a real rest and enjoyment today, a real jubilee. Ron, in Luke chapter 4, when the Lord began his ministry on the earth, he stood up in the synagogue and read from Isaiah in the Old Testament. He proclaimed the jubilee that was referred to in Leviticus 25:10. I think it's good if we can read that verse right now. It says, "And you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." Ron, would you like to add anything before we go to Witness Lee?
I would. You mentioned in the very beginning this word freedom, which sparks all kinds of thoughts and assumptions and concepts, understandably. But from my observation and learning throughout the years, most of our fellow humans think of freedom almost exclusively as freedom from. And of course, liberation, liberty, implies freedom from any kind of oppression, unrighteous government, all kinds of damaging things. But if we only have freedom from, and this may sound rather surprising to some, we'll end up being in bondage to something else from which we will need freedom. With the jubilee, there is both freedom from and freedom for. And the goal of the liberation, the release from being separated from the good land, signifying the all-inclusive Christ, being deprived of our right in Christ to enjoy him, being under the authority of darkness, practically speaking, to be in the kingdom of Satan, which the New Testament speaks about. We must be delivered from every negative thing through the redemption of Christ. But we are freed from, for entering into the all-inclusive Christ as our supreme, wonderful, marvelous, indescribably precious and satisfying enjoyment, and living here to enjoy his riches. So I hope our listeners would get beyond the notion of mere freedom from. In the Exodus, there was freedom from oppression in Egypt, from slavery, but it was freedom for ultimately entering into the good land. So this program is going to emphasize the freedom for and our living in this marvelous enjoyment that is ours in Christ Jesus.
That's awesome, Ron. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study number 68 from the Gospel of Luke.
I'd like to have some fellowship about man's fall. We all know the Bible tells us clearly that man sinned against God. Man got fallen. But sorry to say, Christians, they are clear about man's fall, but they are not clear about the issue or the results of man's fall. And this is the thing I'd like to stress and to impress you. That is, the issue of man's fall is of 2 things. Number one, man lost God in its fall. And number 2, man has fallen into bondage. So the entire history of mankind tells us clearly about these two points. Humankind history is a history of losing God and falling into a kind of bondage, slavery, or captivity. My point is, human history is a history of suffering. You like to be a king, right? You like to be a queen. You like to be a president. I tell you, it's hard for a president or a king to live longer. Maya, to be today's president, even before you get into the presidency, you have nearly killed yourself already. You know, what is real suffering? The real significance of suffering is of two things. No rest, no enjoyment. Do you know there was always an aspiration for rest and for enjoyment? God made man so because God's intention was that man would be all the time seeking after himself. So within man, there is a kind of appetite created by God. Every living person is seeking for rest and is seeking for enjoyment.
Ron, the whole world today is filled with people who are seeking for rest and enjoyment, just as Witness Lee said. The question is, where are they seeking for that rest and enjoyment? God intended them to seek for that rest and enjoyment from himself, but so many are seeking somewhere else, aren't they?
Actually, the whole world as a system and the vast majority of the billions of people are doing two main things. They're struggling and laboring just to stay alive, to exist. And when they have some leisure time, you know, they put their hope in their weekends, whatever leisure time. They want enjoyment and rest. These are two very profound human needs. And we suffer from the lack of rest and the lack of enjoyment, as Brother Lee pointed out, as issues of the result of the fall. The fall brought in sin and death, eventually a world system that is godless. And the issue of that is living in this world system. People have no rest, no enjoyment. And actually, they desperately look for enjoyment. You just consider, I would say, the absurdly exorbitant amounts of money we pay for those who entertain us, who bring us a fleeting enjoyment, whether they're athletes or comedians or musicians or whatever. The very fact that our society would not only condone but endorse such a practice shows what a high premium we place on enjoyment. And the sad thing about it is the enjoyment that people seek issues in more bondage. It involves sin much of the time. It involves things that are contrary to God. It involves things that damage our humanity, things that destroy relationships, things that ruin our health. So this is a very great need and a striking point in the gospel preaching, that these two great needs for rest and enjoyment can never be met outside of God in Christ as our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, and every positive thing we could ever need.
Well, that's a good word, Ron. Let's go back and continue the program with Witness Lee.
In the Old Testament, there were types after types to portray these two points of the issue of man's fall. Number one, no rest, Number two, no enjoyment. In other words, number one, losing God. Number two, falling into bondage. In Exodus, the first type was the Passover. The children of Israel were there in Egypt under bondage. No rest, no enjoyment, no satisfaction. Then God came in to rescue them, to save them from that fallen situation. By what? By Passover. And Passover is called a feast. And that was the first feast of all the feasts. Eventually, every year, God set up seven feasts to the children of Israel. And the first one was always Passover. You all know the word feast. Feast implies a holiday, implies rest, implies satisfaction, implies enjoyment. Then God brought them out of Egypt and brought them through Red Sea and brought them to the other side of Red Sea. The type was wonderful. Could you imagine? Over 2 million people in the wilderness, they didn't have any industry. They didn't have any job. What they did? They had a long holiday for 40 years. Have you ever imagined that? Let me check with you. Did they labor? No labor. What they did? Just rest with God. Every day they rested with God. They didn't get anything out of the labor. They gathered something of God's gifts. They just rested with God. They enjoyed of God's gifts. The 40 years. That was a long holiday. They didn't farm. They didn't create anything, manufacture anything. No. They only rested.
What a sweet picture with 2 million people under the slavery of Pharaoh, which is a type of Satan, and Egypt being a type of the world, and they're set free to rest and enjoy the Lord in the wilderness for 40 years. What a wonderful picture.
It is a wonderful picture. And I like to draw upon this picture to reinforce the points we've been making already. You have the 2 million people, slaves of Pharaoh, signifying Satan, laboring to build up treasure cities for Pharaoh. The Passover and the Exodus were their great liberation, their freedom from bondage. Sadly, certain Bible scholars and theologians talk much about liberation. There's even such a school of thought labeled liberation theology. But the one thing it lacks is the goal of the liberation. The thought is that liberation itself is the goal. But it's not. It can't be. Once we are freed from, which is an absolutely necessary condition, it has to come first. We will be empty and aimless and live meaningless lives if we have no realization of the freedom for. So even in the wilderness, they're not yet in the goal of their journey, the good land. They're not working. And we're told that their sandals did not wear out, their clothes did not wear out. The food was provided by God. They had a minimal amount of effort to gather it and prepare it. They rested with God and had a 40-year holiday. But God's intention was to bring them further into the good land, which itself would be the rest, signifying the Christ who said, "Come to me, I will give you rest. I will be your rest." I just want to drive this point home and emphasize again and again until it penetrates. We need both freedom from and freedom for. The freedom for is the freedom to rest in God and to enjoy Christ as our portion. Without this freedom for, eventually the freedom from, I say again, will result in more bondage, more slavery. So one is freed from poverty or oppression, and now they are in bondage to other things, other matters, maybe even worse than what was before. Although they thought, being rich, having this, having that, that will be my joy, actually. That will be your bondage. That will not be your rest. That will be your unease. Only the all-inclusive Christ is our rest and enjoyment. And we are experiencing a jubilee for this rest and enjoyment.
I said in the beginning of the program that the emphasis today would be on the living in the jubilee. And I appreciate you bringing our listeners back again and again to the purpose of the jubilee and what we're freed from. Not just from, but freed for. Appreciate this emphasis today. Let's go to Witness Lee for our final portion to conclude the life study.
After the 40-year holiday, they were brought into the Goland, and God gave them, each family, a lot, a portion of the land. The rested on that portion, they lived on that portion, and they enjoyed that portion, and they received satisfaction from that portion. In Psalm 16, Jehovah is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. The real portion is God himself. That land was a type of God. God is the real land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And this God eventually is Jesus Christ. Amen. And ultimately is the life-giving Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My Christ is flowing.
Amen.
With milk and honey.
Amen.
But a lot of the children of Israel, they didn't live this way. They live a way that made themselves poor. They sold their land, and eventually they sold themselves. You see, again, they lost the enjoyment, and they fell into bondage. Then this forced God to set up another type. That is the type of Jubilee. See? Actually, Jubilee is a repetition of Passover. And the Passover was to deliver them from the bondage into the rest and enjoyment. Right? In Leviticus 25, it says, on the Jubilee year, you have to proclaim liberty.
Amen.
That means what? Release. Amen. That means freedom, liberation from bondage. I hope that you could spend time to study all those verses.
Ron, I hope we can get into the spirit of Witness Lee's burden here related to the Jubilee, which is the reality of the Passover.
Okay, let's consider what the Passover was and what its intention was. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. The Passover required the offering of a lamb, a type of Christ as our Redeemer. Based upon the shed blood of the lamb, really, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, redemption, being brought back to God, being forgiven, being cleansed, being justified, being reconciled, is possible. So on the basis of the Passover, God passing over his people because they were under the covering of Christ as their Redeemer, based upon that Passover, there was the Exodus, the leaving of Egypt, the actual departure from the realm of oppression and slavery and bondage. And that exodus was consummated by the crossing of the Red Sea, a type of baptism. In baptism, we are transferred out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, out of the old man into the new man. Then the journey began. The Passover was to be remembered by the children of Israel every year. In the New Testament, it is at the Lord's table, which we, in our church life, practice every Lord's Day, every week. We remember the Lord and declare his death until he comes. We declare the effectiveness of his death, of that Passover and that deliverance. Now, the goal was for us to pass through a time of journeying into the good land. That was the goal made known to Moses when God called him. And the good land, according to the typology in Deuteronomy 8 and elsewhere, typifies or signifies the all-inclusive Christ as the sphere of our rest and our enjoyment. This is the result, the goal of the Passover, of redemption. Sadly, and I really mean it, it's sad that not only are so many human beings or believers in Christ not clear about both freedom from and freedom for, many are not clear as to the goal of their redemption in Christ Jesus, the goal of the forgiveness, the cleansing, the reconciliation, the justification. They have been misled. They have been deceived. They have been deprived and defrauded of the New Testament revelation. It's not that we experience this so that sometime we will go to a glorious place, the dwelling place prepared for us in heaven. The Bible reveals the goal of all of that is that we would enter into Christ, typified by the good land, the all-inclusive Christ, who is our life supply, and the reality of every positive thing. The goal of our redemption, of our experiencing Christ as our Passover, is that now God in his righteousness is able to receive us into himself, so that now we are in Christ and we are in the realm of rest. Here we are in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, according to Colossians 1. Here there is no fear, no bondage, no sin, no death, no darkness, but love, life, light, as we enjoy Christ as our portion. And here we have rest, and here we have endless, unfathomable, unsearchable, inexhaustible enjoyment, personally as individual believers, but much more corporately as portrayed in the feasts, a corporate enjoyment when we come together in the oneness of the body of Christ, which is the genuine oneness of the Spirit, and experience and enjoy the reality of those feasts in the Old Testament. Here we are, living in the Jubilee, living a life of rest, living a life of ever-progressing enjoyment, living here personally and corporately. We are satisfied, and God's purpose is fulfilled.
Follow-up question for you, Ron. As we live in this realm of the Jubilee and we have this enjoyment and rest that we're talking about, does that mean that we're walking around smiling all the time?
No, it's not something so shallow as that, because we are still living physically in the old creation. We are subject to the afflictions, the sufferings of all fellow human beings living under the curse in the old creation.
Ron, it's been a pleasure having you with me. Our time's up. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.